This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells. From pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever, you need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. We are thrilled to be here, and I do want to talk a little bit about Joe Biden's claim that the pandemic is over and some of the fallout from that latest gaffe. But beyond that, there's also some gold sound from Don Lemon that you can't beat.
That's the truth.
You can't beat it. CNN has been on a roll lately. They're not doing anything on purpose. You know, this isn't, they're not trying to get views in this way, to go viral in this way, but it's working nonetheless. Before we get to any of that, though, I still have some people on the line who want to talk about what happened in Martha's Vineyard. Before we bring on the callers, let's play another cut here from Ron DeSantis last night on Hannity. Can I get a cut 15, please?
But here's the thing. They said they didn't have housing. They said they couldn't accommodate. Like, let's just say that's true for a minute. Well, what does that mean for these poor towns in Texas? What does it mean for these other places across the country that are seeing influx? What does it mean to these small towns that Biden has dumped so many people in? And so I think what we've been able to do is show that this border is a disaster. Biden has failed on this as much or more than on any other policy. And now people are talking about it. And we want solutions as Americans. We want to make sure that Trump's policies of remain in Mexico can be reinstituted so we can get control over what's going on down there.
Yeah, it's a great point. One of the charities in Martha's Vineyard, if you look into it, and I was reading about it yesterday, has a slush fund worth $16 million. You think these border Texas towns have charities that are worth $16 million just hanging around, and then they're still trying to do GoFundMes for people who are coming in? $16 million. You can do some damage with that. You know, you could really help somebody out. It's, there's no way, and I haven't heard one reasonable explanation. I'm not saying an explanation I have to agree with. I haven't even heard one explanation that could stand up even remotely. And now you're looking at all these calls that, Ron DeSantis is human trafficking and he's bringing people under false pretenses. Where was that outrage when Biden was doing this for months and flying people into New York in the middle of the night? There was no outrage. In fact, Jen Psaki wouldn't even admit that that was happening. She liked to play a word game about when the middle of the night is. This is what we're dealing with. Al, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, there isn't. They could take some of the $16 million and get themselves a real lawyer. The federal statute on human trafficking specifies that there has to be financial gain involved in moving the people around. What's the financial gain that Ron DeSantis is making by moving, by helping people to get to Martha's Vineyard or to Chicago or to New York? The statute is clear, and you don't have to be an attorney to interpret it. It's crystal clear. So I suggest they go and get themselves a real lawyer, not Elizabeth Warren, who's never appeared in court for anybody, not Maura Healey, who wouldn't know an immigration problem or a border if she tripped over it. So that's my comment, is that the whole thing is the whole thing of human trafficking is propaganda and a charade.
Yeah. And Al, thanks for the call and thanks for making those points. Another part of this is the idea that they were lured under false pretenses. What about when Joe Biden was luring people by telling them during a debate that they should surge the border? Where are all of the criminal complaints against Joe Biden? I haven't heard one. Eli Mistal is not on TV talking about how Joe Biden committed a crime. And until I hear that, I can't take these fake virtue signaling people seriously. Let's play one more here. Cut 16, please.
Well, Sean, I think we should point out, you know, they accuse the governors of Arizona, Texas, and me of political stunts in terms of dealing with illegal immigration. But the biggest stunt was Biden coming into office and reversing Trump's policies. Not because Trump's policies weren't working. He reversed them because he wanted to virtue signal to his base, and he wanted to show that he thought Donald Trump was bad. And that's why he reversed it. And he reversed it knowing what would end up happening. And so he has pulled the biggest political stunt.
Yeah, and I'm sick of that accusation as well, that it's a political stunt. It's a political wake-up call for communities that never thought this problem was going to reach their doorstep. And yesterday we had a person call in and complain that I was being too mean to people in Martha's Vineyard. And what I should have just responded with, this is a classic thing in life, you think of it 2 seconds later, but I should have just asked this caller, who is a nice guy, who listens to the show, who's a hard worker in Martha's Vineyard, I should have said, do you identify as a beautiful person? Because he probably would have said no. And then I would have responded, well, then I'm not talking about you. Don't take offense to it then, because I'm talking about Democrat, progressive, limousine liberals who vote one way and expect everybody else to deal with the repercussions of their terrible policies that they support. Now, that's not everybody in Martha's Vineyard, though, because take a listen to this. These are some Martha's Vineyard residents. This is sound from Fox last night, Fox Hannity. This is Cut 10.
I think what he did was a great statement for the country to get the conversation out there.
Tell the truth. I don't believe anything that comes out of the administration anymore.
My message would be, how do you think the people in Texas feel that are getting thousands of them coming in a day? And we had a little taste of it with 50.
You know, that guy was a little nervous at first, I think, and I have to say, I'm not going to be critical of him, because if you live in Martha's Vineyard and you decide to do a man on the street interview for Fox News, you are a braver man than I. Let me tell you right now.
Next time he goes to a boutique for some handmade fudge, there shall be no peanuts for him.
Yes, no, you're right about that. And you know, Jared, another part of this I was thinking
of. But he can still get dark chocolate. They're not monsters.
This is another, well, yeah, because it has the... What does dark chocolate have? The antioxidants. That's what's important. Another part of this that I was thinking of, and I promised people I wouldn't get too sidetracked, but I could really talk about this story for 10 hours a day, because there's so many different parts of it that really make me scratch my head. Another part is, remember when Trump was putting kids in cages? That was the narrative from the left, and they were saying he's separating the babies from the mamas from the babies. What about now that... And I know you could say, oh, there you go, whataboutism. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I really don't. Because I don't consider it partaking in whataboutism. I consider it pointing out double standards that cannot exist if we are going to live in a functioning society. So how come when these children drown on the way over here, because of the process that Joe Biden has in place, those children are permanently separated from their parents. And we don't get any outrage. 53 migrants die in a truck in San Antonio. No outrage from the left. But a Time magazine cover that ended up being very fake news of a little girl crying because she was separated from her mom and then later reunited. That garnered worldwide condemnation of Donald Trump. It's that kind of stuff that makes it so that you cannot take the left's argument seriously. All right, let's move on here briefly. Joe Biden was on 60 Minutes with Scott Pelley, and he dropped a few problem cuts for us, a few things that he has since had to walk back. He's getting like Ralph Northam. He's just moonwalking all the time, trying to back up what he said. And one of the things he said is cut one, please, Jared.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape.
We're going to talk about this when we come back, because a lot of people, a lot of experts, a lot of serious people and heroes and Kennedy Center honor recipients and Profiles in Courage Award recipients and people at the Washington Post and the New York Times, they're contradicting what Joe said. And if that doesn't make it worse, If that doesn't make it bad enough, here's something worse. His own staff is having to walk back what he said. It's all so Joe Biden, isn't it? We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. We're going to go down the list of everybody who is now saying that Joe Biden was wrong. The pandemic is not over. And we're also going to break down why they feel that way. There's a few different reasons, depending on who you ask, as to why they don't want the pandemic to be over. We'll talk about that when we come back. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. 87,000. Why does America need that? I'm sure that's what you all wanted. You said, yay, they passed the Inflation Reduction Act. This is going to be so great. What do we get? 87,000 new IRS agents. Ooh, that was not on my list of things that I wanted. Well, the liar said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. So we all paid attention to the $400K. That's when they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life. They're already checking out your Venmo accounts. This is no joke. This is for real. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg. Now you have to protect it. So you need this now. It's Monetary Gold's new guide, 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. 888-617-7994. Get 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. That's 888-617-7994. And time is of the essence. We'll be right back with more sound. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley lives her life by a strict set of rules.
Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face. And that's it!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. We are discussing Joe Biden's comment on 60 Minutes that the pandemic is over. Since then, a lot of people have had to come out and try to clean up that comment. But before we go to it, let's go to the callers, see what people have on their minds. John, you are next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. You know, if you want to say what Governor DeSantis did was political stunt, I'm not going to argue that. But I guess what I would say is, how else do you bring attention to the fact that Mexican border security is essentially handled by the Sinaloa cartel and the new generation Jalisco cartel? And they traffic in children and women and opioids and meth, and the trail of destruction and lives lost and rape that goes on in that border is astronomical. And when do we start to address that humanitarian crisis by the two cartels that are becoming so wealthy that they are going to put Mexican sovereignty in jeopardy of becoming a narco state? Where is the attention to that, Grace?
Well, everyone's too busy, you know, sending their well wishes to the heroes on Martha's Vineyard who took care of the migrants for 44 hours. And, you know, I had pointed this out earlier, John, that this energy, this passion that everyone from the sheriff, Javier Salazar in Bejar County, to the mainstream media, this energy and passion they have for condemning Ron DeSantis, and now they're talking about criminal probes and all these other things. If they even gave a scintilla of that time, an iota of that time, to what they're ignoring, which you just pointed out on the border, maybe we'd have a little bit more progress being made if it was kept at the forefront of people's minds. But instead, we got, you know, years and years and years of Donald Trump bad, years and years and years of Americans are racist, and nobody wanted to talk about what was happening at the border. And I have new numbers for you. So I'm glad John brought this up, because even if you want to go to the headlines today, Fox is running the new border numbers that we have. Fox News, and Brian Stelter used to give Fox a really hard time that they're focusing on the wrong things. Maybe if Fox had just constantly
it's an infamous fake
focused on Martha's Vineyard, maybe Brian Stelter would have left them alone. But 200,000 border arrests in the month of August. And that makes it over 2 million for the 2022 fiscal year. And again, to the point of that last caller, when is this conversation going to take place? And, you know, we're told that, oh, it's a stunt. They're using these people as political pawns. I would say that nothing seemed to work thus far. In fact, the people in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, Ron DeSantis, Ducey in California, all of those people were basically gaslit by the left for years for even complaining about this. And now the people on Martha's Vineyard who took care of these migrants for 44 hours before they clapped and cheered as they drove away on a bus, they want pats on the back for how charitable they are, how compassionate they are. We proved you wrong. And I'm thinking, do they not think that there's people in Texas who do the same thing every single day, who are compassionate and charitable and magnanimous towards people? Or do they think that just like, you know, sophistication and intelligence and privilege, that that's something that they're the only ones who hold that? That the idea of other people being compassionate, oh, no, no, that's only for people on Martha's Vineyard. We're the compassionate ones. Those credulous boomer rubes in Texas probably were terrible to migrants who came in. I bet if CNN ever decided to send somebody to the border, they'd find a lot of stories like that. They'd find a lot of examples of people being very kind and very compassionate, even if they didn't have the resources or the infrastructure or they weren't equipped to deal with it. And I know I said this yesterday, but the story about the Texas town needing refrigerators to store the bodies of migrants who drown in the Rio Grande, that is not something that any town is equipped for. That kind of human suffering is not something that anyone should be voting for the policies that lead to that. And if you are voting for the policies that lead to that kind of destruction, that horrible destruction of human life, then at the very least, you should have the guts to handle it when it comes to your door. But they don't. Pat, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pat.
Yes, I would like to know how the illegals got to Florida so DeSantis could send them to Martha's Vineyard.
So here's what I think happened. I think DeSantis was flying people from Texas, right? He sent a plane to Texas, and then, do I have this right, Jared?
Well, Javier Salazar, the Bexar County Sheriff, kind of talked about this. They think somebody, as he said, quote-unquote, lured the Venezuelans from Texas to fly to Florida. From Florida, they would be flown out. So he insinuated that DeSantis and his people had them flown into Florida for that, just to send them off. But
wait, now I have a question for you, and this is just a hypothetical, and I don't want to appear as though I'm doubting anything here, that I'm pessimistic. Do you think if DeSantis had just had the illegal aliens fly to Florida, if the trip ended there, if the journey ended there, do you think there would be this same kind of hair on fire, apoplectic meltdowns?
No, absolutely not, because this whole Martha's Vineyard experience, let's call it, is the symptom of the sickness of the liberal mind, is that everybody who is not they are not sophisticated. They're all pitiable creatures. And the most pitiable of the pitiable creatures are these dumb people who are lured to come into the border. So they should stay in their little area with the less or the more pitiable creatures of the pitiable creatures. And that's why if they'd stayed in Florida, it's fine, because there's all those pitiable people in Florida.
Yeah, and maybe that is their mindset, but man, this is backfiring big time for the left. When we come back, I want to talk about Dr. Fauci. He is now backtracking for Joe Biden. The Washington Post is backtracking for Joe Biden. And of course, the best and brightest, the Avengers, the adults back in the room, the people who are going to save us from ourselves and restore the soul of the nation and unify us with their wisdom and with their experience, are also walking back the comments from Joe Biden. And this is what I always say. Scott Pelley does a softball interview. It doesn't even matter. That's how bad Joe Biden is. You can give him the easiest interview of all time, and it's like winding up one of those cars. You know, he's still going to vroom. He's still going to make it happen. He's still going to give the right stuff to pounce and seize and weaponize and hammer. What else am I forgetting? I'm forgetting one of them.
Salivate.
Salivate on. He's the gift. He's the gaff that keeps on giving. We'll be right back with a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, so I do want to talk about Joe Biden saying the pandemic is over and the fallout from that. But before we get to it, the callers have been on a roll today, and people are really loving it. So let's go to Bob. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Grace. Listen, just 2 points to ponder on the double standard. First of all electric vehicles come with air conditioning. That's one thing. The other thing is the EPA building headquarters in Washington, D.C. The building takes up 6 acres of space with multiple floors, completely air-conditioned top to bottom and completely heated during the winter. So, you know, it's just a double standard that why can't they do without air conditioning? 50 years ago, we...
Oh, we lost you there, Bob. Yeah, why can't they...
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
Why can't they pre-cool the EPA building like they were doing in California? That actually brings up something else. I love when a caller brings something else up and then I can work in a sound cut that I might not have gotten to otherwise. Perfect time to play Ron DeSantis talking about Governor Newsom. Because if you haven't seen this, Governor Gavin Newsom is constantly attacking Ron DeSantis because he wants to stay relevant, because he wants to run in 2024. And there was a piece in the Wrap today about talking about how sources are saying that, you know, if Biden doesn't run, then Newsom's definitely going to run. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not how an egomaniac like Gavin Governor Hairgel Newsom operates. In fact, to run for president, I think we can all say this, you got to have a huge ego. You got to have a little bit of a narcissistic personality. And I don't think anyone who wants to run for president is going to not do it because of Joe Biden. I think that if you're running, you're running. I don't think that these people like Pete Buttigieg, Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris, they're not waiting to find out what Joe Biden's going to do. You think this old man's going to stand in their way? Hell to the no.
Especially Newsom, who has the advantage of not being in this cabinet.
Yeah, and has the advantage of having such a prosperous state that he's governing. I mean, have you looked at California recently? Have you seen the open-air drug markets in San Francisco? Have you seen the electric grid failing and people having to basically unplug everything for a few hours to avoid rolling blackouts?
You mean the progress?
Yeah. He's got all of this experience. He's got all of this evidence as to why he would do such a good job. Make America California again. Doesn't that sound nice? The only problem with that is when we make America California, we're going to have a real shortage of U-Hauls out of the country. That's going to be the issue. But we'll tackle that when we get to it. We'll make some electric vehicle U-Hauls. I have no doubt about that. Let's have DeSantis talking about Gavin Newsom. And I should mention that before this, he had said that the hair gel was interfering with Newsom's brain function. Can I get cut 19, please?
I don't know if they can reliably keep the power on. So you go all the way up there and have a debate. And then what ends up happening, you know, if they can't keep
you'll
the lights on.
Out.
So, you know, we're happy with what we're doing. You know, what I do, though, Sean, my actions speak louder than my words. There's certain people that'll preen and do that. I understand. We get things done in Florida.
Well, if you'd ever meet Governor Newsom at the French Laundry, you would know that his actions speak louder than his words, too. His pompous, out-of-touch actions speak loud enough where he was almost recalled. That's how loud his actions spoke.
978 texts in, hey, maybe Joe will pardon Michael Avenatti so he can run.
I haven't given up on the Avenatti 2024 train, and I refuse to. Brian Stelter told me time and time again that this guy was the real deal. And I'm not going to forget that. Okay, a couple years in prison, a couple Nike extortion situations, that is not enough.
And I'm going to go a little bit rogue here, so
and
bear with me, okay?
For all you fair weather Avenatti fans, shame on you. for giving up on him right when he needs us the most. You should be ashamed of yourself. Shane, you're next up. Go ahead, Shane.
Yep. Absolute hypocrisy. These people, they don't want to have it their way. Their cake and eat it too. And they're talking about this Martha's Vineyard. And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible that they can have this hypocrisy. And it's infuriating. It really is.
It really is. But it's a beautiful thing to watch play out, because it just, there's no dancing around this one. This is just hypocrisy in its truest form. I do want to talk a little bit here and get on the line. Stay right there. We're going to get to all the calls, because everyone's been impressing me today with these poignant phone calls. And I love hearing from you. But I do want to play here Fauci's response to Joe Biden saying the pandemic is over. Now, with each person who has to walk back what Joe Biden said, they all have their own reasons. Fauci's reason is obvious. Okay. The spotlight. Okay, we don't want those bright lights fading on Dr. Fauci. Don't let the sun go down on me. You think I'm going to get invited to an MSNBC green room if the pandemic is over? I mean, that's Fauci's motive. But let's have Fauci cut three, and then I'm going to read you something from the Washington Post.
The intensity of the outbreak now, even though it is, I believe, unacceptably high, where we're having 400 deaths per day, when you compare it to the fulminant stages we've experienced over the past year or so, where we used to have 800,000 to 900,000 cases per day and over 3,000 deaths per day, we are much better off now for a number of reasons that you mentioned. But we are not where we need to be if we're going to be able to, quote, live with the virus.
Yeah, and it does get to the point of, you know, it's not over until Fauci sings. And he hasn't declared it over yet. And he's King Fauci. You know, he's the president of this country. We all elected him. So he should get to decide. I do want to read you one thing, though, here, because this was from the Washington Post. No, President Biden, the pandemic is not over. And Stephen Miller was nice enough to take out one excerpt in particular, which really tells you all you need to know. Sometimes if you scroll down enough, you get to like the eighth or ninth paragraph, you figure out the whole purpose of the piece. And here's the whole purpose of why they need to tell Joe Biden the pandemic's not over. Mr. Biden has not ended the official pandemic emergency. When the official emergency ends, some 15 million people will lose Medicaid coverage. The reason for a student loan repayment pause will end. The rationale for Trump-era border restrictions still held in place by a court will disappear. All this policy transition must not be done carelessly or hastily. They're not even trying to hide the fact that they can't have the pandemic end, because then all of these powers, all of these emergencies that allow them to do whatever they want and skip right over Congress and not follow the Constitution, all of that will end with it. And we can't have that. Pete, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pete.
They're not going to do anything, Grace. The problem is the Congress has almost became powerless to the point where they're just sitting back and twiddling their thumbs while Biden and this administration moves forward with crazy executive orders. This isn't going to end until after the midterms, and hopefully the Republicans take back over both houses. Getting back to the border, Grace, the thing with the border is Governor Newsom, Texas should start shipping the illegals, and these are not migrants, they're illegal aliens, let's call it what it is, ship them to California to replace all the sane people that finally got the hell out of California. The other thing is, back to the border, as far as Martha's Vineyard, those people went out and raised $40,000+ and it went right back into their own community. So they're nothing but a bunch of grifters.
Democrats? Liberals? A bunch of grifters? Why, I never. Thanks for the call, Pete. Good points. I do want to play, because I just got a text from a friend of mine who said, have you done the Don Lemon segment yet? And I thought, it's probably time. Can we get a little bit of journalism in the news here, Jared, please?
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? News.
All right, so the Queen's funeral was yesterday. It was all over national TV coverage. And Don Lemon brought on a royal scholar. It wasn't me. I know you're probably surprised. A royal scholar to discuss this. And he decided to make the conversation about reparations. Now, then things got interesting because this royal scholar did not handle things the way I think Don Lemon thought she would. She went rogue, to quote Don Lemon's former coworker, Brian Stelter. She went rogue. And her name is Hillary Fordwich. So it was very quickly apparent, apparent to Don Lemon that this was not what the viewers would want, not what the bosses would want, because she was not following the liberal approved narrative. And you really should watch, I don't say this a lot, but there's some videos where you really should watch them because you want to see the visual of Don Lemon's face just drop as this woman starts talking. I'm shocked they didn't cut her feed. This is a beautiful cut. This is a wonderful cut. This is cut 7.
Well, this is coming when, you know, there's all of this wealth and you hear about it comes as England is facing rising costs of living, a living crisis, austerity budget cuts and so on. And then you have those who are asking for reparations for colonialism. And they're wondering, you know, $100 billion, $24 billion here and there, $500 million there. Some people want to be paid back and members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are, you know, you have all of this vast wealth. Those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain? That was in Africa. And when that crossed the entire world, when slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? The first nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce, was the British. In Great Britain, they abolished slavery. 2,000 naval men died on the high seas trying to stop slavery. Why? Because the African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Absolutely. That's where they should start. And maybe, I don't know, the descendants of those families where they died at in the high seas trying to stop the slavery, that those families should receive something too, I think, at the same time.
It's an interesting discussion, Hillary. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll continue to discuss in the future. So remember the impact of the supply chain crisis on the economy during...
Nice job taking a little bit of
his segue. Roasted.
Thank you, Hillary. And when the phone don't ring, it will be the booker at CNN because you will never be allowed on this program again. I want to read you a little bit from Bonchi at Red State because he was breaking down what that royal scholar said. And I thought he was very measured about the way he handled it. He said, Fordwich is correct that the British shed blood and treasure to end the slave trade before anyone else did, including fighting against African kingdoms that wanted to keep it going. That's uncomfortable to talk about, though, so it basically is never discussed outside of a few interactions a year that often lead to backlash. I'm going to skip around here, but it says, history is complicated. That's especially true prior to the modern era. There were rarely, if ever, I think this is very important for people to remember, there were rarely, if ever, good guys and bad guys during the 15th through 18th centuries. Essentially, every organized group of people, whether a nation, a kingdom, or a tribe, committed what we would clearly see as atrocities through our modern lenses. I believe you can observe history, not minimize its horrors, and still come to the conclusion that reparations as a policy just makes no real sense from a practical and moral standpoint. And here's the key. It would arbitrarily force people who had no part in slavery to pay people who were never enslaved. And whether or not you agree with Ford, which is, take on the whole situation, I think that it's nice to have a different perspective on CNN, even if it does kind of stun the host into silence. 844-500-4242. So I played it. I got the Don Lemon. I had the Don Lemon and I made lemonade, and now we're moving on. 844-500-4242.
It's a hell of a lot of journalism.
42. We will continue with all this. Don't forget, we've got Two-Way Tuesdays at 2 o'clock, so you can get ready for that. We'll talk about 2024. We'll play some more sound, and we'll take some more of your calls. When we come back, it's Tuesday. We're having a lot of fun. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will DeSantis derangement syndrome be worse than Trump derangement syndrome?
Yes. Yes, based off the last couple days, I'm going to say yes. I mean, this guy has a long time left in politics, hopefully. And I get the sense that he knows how to push people's buttons.
They're going to be dealing with long DDS.
Yeah, and I think another part of this, Jared, is that Trump, when he was elected president, as much as he was great at things because he wasn't a politician, I do think he underestimated the swamp and he thought he could hire his own people and he chose a lot of the wrong people. I think DeSantis is very aware of what DC is like and what these politicians are like. And so I think he's going to be able to navigate it better, which will bring on more hate from the left.
40% of the audience says yes, it will be. 60% still believe Trump derangement syndrome will trump DeSantis derangement syndrome.
So it's getting closer. Hey, just a couple of headlines that I think, you know, whenever you see the headline suddenly, or, you know, there's a lot of things that are just starting to happen as the midterms come closer. Fetterman, for example, is walking back. His campaign is walking back his apparent call to free every convicted second-degree murderer right before the midterm. Stacey Abrams is rejecting comparisons of refusal to concede in 2018 to Trump's 2020 claims. She's been going on TV. She was on The View talking about how it's different. When she denies an election, it's different. That's something that's, as you watch her race in Georgia and she's falling behind, that's a new theme. And also, Governor Kathy Hochul says D.A. Alvin Bragg went soft on the McDonald's axe man. There was the guy who was walking around with an axe, went into a McDonald's, and she's very upset with Alvin Bragg. Again, I'm sure that has nothing to do with the fact that Lee Zeldin, who Representative Lee Zeldin, is getting closer and closer to Hochul in the polls leading up to the New York gubernatorial election in November. One last thing before we go. And I know this is a small thing. When we come back, we'll have Toby Leary. So get on the lines if you have a gun question for Toby. It's 844-500-4242. Again, that's 844-500-4242. I would love to have full lines for Toby right off the bat so that I don't hog all the airtime with him. One other thing I want to get in before we go to break. And I know it's small, but I think sometimes like the small errors of an administration tell you a lot about it. The fact that Joe Biden was late for the Queen's funeral shows me that this administration can't get anything right. Even the easiest stuff, like showing up on time, not happening with them. All right, when we come back, Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis joins us. Get on the lines now.